Yeah, the topic that I chose for the VSS is a topic that hit us at the beginning of the year, and it's very exciting. The excitement ran off, wore away for the guys that have been here from the beginning of the year, but it's still a new concept for visitors, and that is the concept of Shemitah. It's a Davar Kadosh. There's a Rav in Rav Shvut named Rav Rimon, Peretz Rimon. He was giving a shir to some students about Shemitah, and he pointed out he saw in a certain school that they had a pach Shemitah, a garbage for the Shemitah produce. A pach? A Shemitah garbage? How could you call it garbage? It's kadosh. It should be called the, like, Otsar Kedusha. Like the treasure house of Kedusha. How could you call it garbage? It's not garbage, it's kadosh. And getting used to this concept that everything in the land is kadosh, what does it mean and what's the purpose, what's the point? There was a man that walked into our base medrash about 2 months ago, and Shalom Yifrach is his name. He was watching me as I went from one chavrusa to the next. So I finally finished with chavrusas. I was able to say Shalom Aleichem. And he said Aleichem Shalom. I'm just very interested looking, watching you teach. He didn't understand any English. So he was just watching. And I asked his story, and I got his whole story. He's a farmer. He has, No, this guy is a tzaddik, a tremendous tzaddik. This guy is a farmer, owns 3,000 vines. Each vine produces 4 clusters of grapes, large clusters, 12,000 clusters of grapes that he sells annually, brings in a nice bundle, and that's what he does for a living. He has a bunch of workers, and that's what he does. This year, Shemitah, he said, I told my wife, I'm going to do what the Torah wants of me. Leave the land fallow. I came to learn Torah. What am I going to do? I have nothing else to do. I cut the vines, prepared them for the Shemitah. I came to learn. Is it okay for me to learn in your basement? So what is the point of Shemitah? What's the idea? Is that... Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want that? And it's interesting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only wants this of the farmers. We don't demand that the shoemakers take a year off. We don't demand that the people that sell firewood take a year off. We don't demand many things. There's a whole slew of workers from the olden days. Water drawers, they worked. People that made candles, they worked. A lot of businesses thrived. Just the farmers. Now, whether that was now, today, it's only 10% of the population that's affected by the market, and then it was 50% of the population. At the end of the day, 50% of the population was involved in something else and was not affected by Shemitah. So then, there must be a message of Shemitah to everybody. It just has to be.
But also just living in the land, a huge deal of just living in the land is farming. Like, if that's not like our, like, the main goal in living in the land, it's like one of the huge deals, like settling the land, farming the land.
So there's an, what Yadin is pointing out is there's certainly a lot of importance to developing the land. So what we have to figure out is the concept, like, why is that important? That's definitely a very valid point. It's so valid, we're going to discuss it and really raise this issue to its highest level. There's a famous machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, what the ideal of life is as a Jew. Is the ideal life to just sit and learn Torah and then everything else will be given to you on a silver platter? That's what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai preached. And Rabbi Shmuel said, no. It says in V'hayim Shemoa that if you keep the mitzvot, you're going to collect, you're going to be a farmer to reap the produce. That's if you do mitzvot. So if you do mitzvot, you're going to get a bracha. What's the bracha? That you'll have what to reap, but who's going to be reaping? You! So if the ideal Jew doesn't do that, then how is that the bracha if you get mitzvot? Now, in case you don't understand how going to reap the benefits is actual work, so I did not comprehend how Rabbi Yishmael understood, derived a proof from the fact that your produce is ready, and you just go to the farm, the field, and collect what's ready, what's ripe. That's the proof that you're supposed to work for a living. So I didn't understand it until I had my favorite shesek tree. And we did not ask for a shesek tree. We do not like sheseks. We asked for an esrog and a mango. And we got a banana and a shesek. And I don't even know what a shesek is. But it's a mean little orange fruit. Pits about twice the size of the fruit. So it's almost inedible. And a little bit of fruit. A little bit of fruit around the big pits. And a lot of people like them, especially the bats. And they leave their droppings afterwards. And that's the shesek. So once I came up with this great idea, I'm going to totally chop the shesek down. Carve it down. That way it can't produce all that much. I learned firsthand the concept of pruning. What good pruning does to a tree, unfortunately. See, when you prune, you cut away all the excess branches. I cut off all the branches. And then the tree got really strong. So then the following year, it produced a few thousand sheseks. There was sheseks all over the place. I can't believe it. So the first day, there were ripe sheseks. Got to go pluck the sheseks. Now, there happens to be this great din in the Torah. You're not allowed to cut down a fruit tree. It's Nisr D'Oraisa. It's this lovely shesek tree. But we're good friends by now. This is why we're moving to Ramat Shiloh. So, oh, there are going to be some happy owners. So, we're going to plant them ourselves this time. No gardener.
Couldn't you just dig it up by the roots?
It's only a 50% chance of survival. So,
is that much or not?
That's a machlokas. That's a machlokas. There is a one way to make the percentage higher. The cost is also a lot higher. And we're not about to get a crane. You know. It does better the chances a lot. Machazon Ishtan says it's mutter, but it's really, you know. At $5,000-$6,000 to just move the tree. We're gonna leave the tree. So the first day that fruit ripened, I went out and picked, I have to get the ladder and start plucking, and I learned my lesson based on this great issue that you're not allowed to cut down the fruit tree. If you just leave it there, I'm not gonna bother, I'm not gonna even collect it. So this wonderful thing. The shesek tree has these big, nice leaves. And they fall off the tree. And the fruit fall off when they get gesunta ready. Especially when the birds come and eat them. And then the pits are like totally accessible and open. And then they fall. And then when the water comes to water the grass, it waters the grass with the leaves covering basically buried pit. And lo and behold, you get new shesek trees. Your babies. This is great. So, therefore, it's very important to pick the sheseks as soon as they're ready. So, I went the first day. It took 20 minutes. And then the next day, I only have one tree. And this tree took the longest time. Every day, I'm out there for another 20 minutes, another half hour. Then I understood Rabbi Yishmael very clearly. If you have a field, it takes hours to reap the benefits. You go to work. That is work. And Rabbi Shmuel says that's the ideal. Rav Steinberg showed me that Rav Kook says the ideal is unlike what you might think it is. Exactly the opposite. You may think that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael is the land of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it must be the ideal of when you're in Eretz Yisrael is to be like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and learn as much as you can and not be involved in the world. Lo and behold, Rav Kook writes the exact opposite. You see, from the Torah itself, there's a concept of cultivating and working the land, and that the ideal in Chutz La'aretz is to be like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai as much as you can, but once you're in Eretz Yisrael, the ideal is like Rabbi Yishmael. Hell. Hela. So what is this idea of Shemitah? That's question one. Question two is, what's the concept of cultivating the land of Eretz Yisrael? Why is that important? Why wouldn't the land of Hashem demand our ideal to be Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Now, if you open up to Parshas Behar, it's good to know where Shemitah is in the Torah. Parshas Behar, the very beginning. Perek Chaf Hei. Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'amartel lehem, you should speak to the people, and you should say to them, Ki savo el aretz, when you come to the land, asher ani nosein lachem, that I give you. When you come to the land that I give you, v'shav saha aretz shabbos l'ashem, the land should rest a Shabbos to Hashem. The land needs its rest. Sheishanim tizra sodecha, 6 years you should plant the field. Vesheishanim tizmor karmecha, 6 years you should prune. Yosaftas tvuasa, it's almost saying it like a commandment. You should cultivate the land, you should harvest, you should reap, you should work the land. Dalit, uvashana shvi'it, Shabbat, Shabbaton, yeh, la'aretz. Who's the Shabbos for? The land. Shabbat Hashem, Shabbat Hashem, Sadcholo Tizra v'Karmacholo Sivtzor. The next pasuk, don't do this, don't do that. Shnat Shabbaton yeh la'aretz. Pasuk Vav v'Aita Shabbat ha'aretz. So you get the point. This Shabbos, it's called a Shabbos, and the Shabbos is for the land. The land needs rest. But what is pshat that the land needs a Shabbos? We need Shabbos to recharge our spiritual batteries in the land. What does that mean?
I mean, the land needs agriculturally, it's very healthy.
Oh, but it's not, I learned. From this farmer.
Oh, really?
I spoke to him about that. He said, it's not good. It's just not. You need to do tremendous preparations just to make sure that the following year you'll have something left from your original investment to come back to. And if you don't do it perfectly right, the preparations, all the money you've pumped into your field before will be gone. You'll have to restart your whole investment. It's not terribly good for your field. It might depend on what kind. He was talking about vineyards. Maybe for wheat, it might be different. I don't know. But it's fallow. Like, leaving a land fallow, I don't think is ever good. But the land needs its rest. Why would the land need rest for? What's the deeper explanation of it? The land needs to recharge its spiritual batteries? Yeah. We could come up with a whole vart on that. I just don't think. I won't understand it. I heard a shir, a great rav, explaining the recharging of the spiritual batteries of the land. I did not understand one word. And I just don't know what that's supposed to mean on a practical level, what the people are supposed to walk away with from that concept. And after I learned this, I think I got the shot. And I think it's pretty accessible and easily understood. It's the pshat. I really believe it to be true. Pasuk Vav, one more time. Vayisa Shabbat ha'aretz lachem li'achla, the Shabbat ha'aretz will be for you to eat. You're supposed to eat the land, the fruit. You're supposed to eat it. Lacha. V'l'avdacha, v'l'amatecha, v'l'eschircha. The Ramban from here brings down, it's a mitzvah d'oraita to eat the food of Kedushat Shvi'it. It's the mitzvah d'oraita. Why is it that there's no bracha on it? That's a kasha. Could be because we don't necessarily hold like the Ramban. The Rambam doesn't count it as a mitzvah, but it as a mitzvah d'oraita to do this. But certainly it's mutter, and the pasuk is saying it's for you, you're allowed to eat it. It's for you. To waste it would certainly be a problem, according to everyone. Rabosai, I'd like to suggest the following explanation. Who gets rest? Who gets the rest? And who does not get the rest? Who never rests? Don't tell me Hashem.
Well, Hashem does rest.
Hashem does rest, right. Who never gets a chance to rest?
Everyone besides the farmers?
Well, the farmers are going to get a chance now.
That's everyone but the farmers.
everyone.
The farmer's gonna rest, but no one else does. Everyone else is normal.
What? I could rest whenever I want.
Like, not from like your daily like job. Like any other job you have, you don't rest for that year.
Tomorrow, I am not gonna be in yeshiva. Don't look for me. I will not be here. I'm resting. Friday, my day off.
The non-Jewish world doesn't have a Shabbos.
Okay, but they rest. They can rest. There's one person who never gets at
person?
Rest. It's not allocated for him. A slave. Anyone who's not a slave, who's a boss of his own time, he can rest whenever he wants. A slave never gets his rest. If I buy something, I buy a car, I buy an item, I buy an object, it never gets rest. I don't have to ever give it rest. It's mine. It's owned by me. A wife gets rest. She's not your car. She's not your Shesek tree that you bought. She's not your vacuum cleaner, a maid you bought. I don't have to ever give a rest. You have a chiyuv to be mechabed her more than yourself. What's the point? Remember, make sure you fully appreciate. That was just an acquisition, a concept. Comes Rav Kook, and he says the beginning of Kiddushin opens up. How do you know that you could purchase a woman with money? Meaning, how do you know you enter marriage, Kiddushin, with money? The Gemara says, Kicho Kicho Mistei Ephraim. Because Avram bought land with money, and therefore we could buy Kicho Kicho Kitikachi Shah, Vayikacha Sakesef, become low. Kicho Kicho, the same word, the way that Avram bought land, the way is the same way you buy a woman. And Rav Kook says, really? You could compare marriage to buying purchase of land? Rav Kook says, yeah, because we're not talking about just purchase of any land. We're talking about the land of Eretz Yisrael. Because you don't just buy Eretz Yisrael, you marry Eretz Yisrael. And it's a nice part, but it's super true. And it comes out in Shemitah. Shabbat, the land needs its Shabbos, you know why? So you shouldn't take it for granted. It's not yours. You don't have it. It's not your car. It's not your wallet. It's not your glasses. It's not your vacuum cleaner. It's the land. The land is kadosh. It's like your wife. You're married to the land. You have to be mechabe the land. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's land that Hashem gave you the entitlement to have it. But we're going to take it one step further. Listen to this. It says, in this parsha, what's going to be? How are you going to... What's going to be? You're not going to plant for the seventh year, a whole year. Before it, you don't plant for a few days, 30 days, maybe even more in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. After it, Tosefet Shabbos, you add to Shabbos. Shemitah also has such a concept. It's not around during when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, but when the Beis HaMikdash is around, you have this Tosefet. So a little bit before, a little bit after, at a year and a half in the end of the day, you don't plant. A year and a half you don't plant, or plow, or harvest, nothing. What are you going to eat? What are you going to eat? So it says, V'chitomro, did I just pass it? V'nasnaharetz kriya, the land will give forth its fruit. V'achaltem lasova, you'll eat till you're full. V'shavtem lavetachala, and you'll dwell securely on it. Which is where the Midrashim pick up that there is a concept, a connection, a direct connection, as we'll see and understand soon very clearly, between security, national security, at, in terms of enemies entering the land and infiltrating past borders and past the army. There's a direct connection between that and keeping Shemitah. You keep Shemitah, the land will provide protection. You don't keep Shemitah, you will be in trouble. And if you say, what are we going to eat? Bashana Ashvit. Hein lo nizra, lo neso. We didn't plant, we didn't do a sivu, we didn't harvest, we didn't do... How are we going to manage? Don't worry, I'll command my blessing. Lachem for you. Bashana Shishit. in the sixth year, v'asata tatzvua l'shlosh hashnim, you'll give so much for 3 years in the sixth year. The sixth year will produce triple the amount they need in order to, for you to have fruits and vegetables for the following year. 3 years. The end of the sixth, the seventh, the beginning of the eighth, until you are allowed to plant, and then be able to eat once again. Until it grows. Rav Goldberg Zatzel, my Rosh Yeshiva, the uncle of the one that's going to be visiting us for Shabbos, he said, I don't understand. It says v'chitom means when you, if, or when you ask, when you doubt Hashem, what are we going to eat? And you're starting to ask questions and you have doubts, so then v'tziviti et perchati, then I'll command my blessing, I'll give you bracha. Let me get this straight. The guy that doubts, he'll get blessing. The guy that doesn't doubt, no blessing for you. It doesn't say v'afki tomer, and even if you doubt, don't worry. It says v'chi tomer. If you doubt, I'll give you my bracha. And if you don't ask, if you don't doubt, no bracha. That's what it's about. So the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal said, what a beautiful vibe. You don't understand. The land is created to work for you. You have to do the mitzvos. You have to keep the Torah and mitzvos. You have to do yours. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands the land then to produce for you. You produce, you work, you do Torah and mitzvos, the land produces. If you doubt, the land could look up at Hashem and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, they're a bunch of doubters. They don't have bitachon. I don't have to produce. The deal is, I produce for people that are shomrei Torah mitzvos. They doubt you. I don't have to produce. So then, the Chi Tomru, the guy that doubts, v'tziviti, don't miss the most important word, the Rosh Yeshiva said, v'tziviti, I'll command my bracha. Even the guy that doubts, I'll command it. I'll make sure the land produces for you. The guy that doesn't doubt, he doesn't have to worry. He doesn't need a commandment to the bracha. Automatically, the land is going to produce for him. What that means, essentially, let's take it deeper, is that when you work the field, when you work that field and it produces, the work that you do is because Hashem wants you to work. I don't have money. I need money. I have to work. He wants you to work. So you work. And what do you work? And whatever you come up with that you like or don't like, you're actually miserable, but you find some reason you ended up in this parnasa. Great. So I'm in computers, this one's in that, this one's in, you know, whatever your job is. He wants you to work for the tikkun olam. It helps the world. The money that you get from it, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving you that money. The produce, the benefit that you get, the paycheck at the end of the month, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you. When the fruit and vegetables actually grow, that's the land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is blessing land. Land is giving it to you. Comes the seventh year, I want you to recognize something. I, the land, am not your slave. I'm not your slave. You don't own me like your slave. You're married to me. That's the idea of Shabbos Lashem. It's the land gets its Shabbos, it gets its rest. For every single Jew to know clearly that the land you're married to, you have responsibilities to it, and you have to recognize that it gives you. It's lachem liachla, for you to enjoy. It's a mitzvah to eat it. You know, it's a mitzvah the land produced for you. If your wife makes you a soup, she slaved all day making you a soup. And you come home, this is a great bowl of soup to pour down the drain. Ha! You pour it down the drain. She'll shoot you. You can't do that. What do you mean? That's the same idea. The land just produced fruit for you. I'll take the fruit. It's nice in the garbage. What? I just produced for you. That's your wife. The land is producing for you. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Those sheseks after Tu B'Shvat, I'm going to be running after those sheseks. I want another one. It's a mitzvah. And the truth is, that's the way it should be all 7 years. All the years. Forever. The land produces for you. It's a gift from the land. That which you work, that's because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to work. But this idea, Now we can understand why it's also a tremendous mitzvah to cultivate the land of Israel. The Ramban, when he came, he made Aliyah. He left his family and he made Aliyah. He got here. You know what he did? He used to remove the rocks from the streets, from the roads. Heaven forfend people when they come to visit Israel should say, Israel, who could live there? There are rocks in the roads and the paths over there. So they made paths. The Ramban was a giant in Torah. We all know who the Ramban is. He had time to move rocks from the streets. They busied themselves with planting trees. The Ramban! The Ramban busied himself with planting. He wrote poems about Eretz Yisrael. Ramban. You don't think the Ramban had better things? With his chidushim on Shas, chidushim on Chumash. I don't know. What's he doing? This is Hashem's land. People are going to come. I want to make sure that when people come, the whole world sees this is the best land. I want to show it off. If you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then everyone that comes to get a taste of Eretz Yisrael, you're going to want to make sure that they get a taste, a good taste, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's land. It's representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to cultivate it. It's a mitzvah to have fruit trees growing all over the place. It's a mitzvah to cultivate it. It's a mitzvah to build buildings. It's a mitzvah to build a community. It's a mitzvah to build this place up. This is Hashem's land. And people come. Beautiful city you have here. Park. That's right. That was a mitzvah to make parks. It's mamash a mitzvah. And that might be the concept of Shemitah, that every single person learns to literally love the land of Eretz Yisrael. Learns that it's not your slave, and that's why it produces for you. I work it better produce for me. No, you work it because Hashem wants you to work it. Produces because Hashem wants it to produce for you. And Eretz Yisrael is the land of your heritage. It's a connection that you're married to. And this is Eretz Hashem that we have to build up and cultivate and protect. And now we can perhaps understand why there's a connection between Shemitah and Bitachon. If you keep Shemitah, then what's going to happen? If you keep Shemitah, so then the land says, wow, you people really recognize, you appreciate me. I'm not just your slave that you just always work, always plant me more and just expect, it's like the cow that you just keep taking milk. I'm not your cow. And if that's the case, the people love me, I'm going to love the people. I'm going to make sure that they stay safe. So now listen to the halachos of what goes on. Something called Heter Mechira. Now, I'm not so against Heter Mechira, actually. First of all, it was started by someone that my son is named after, Rav Yitzchok Elchanan Spector. So he came up with the whole idea. Rav Kook seconded it. Just about all the Gedolim until Rav Kook in Eretz Yisrael agreed with it and went with it. There's a big change in what happened when it started and what it is today. When it started, if the Jews did not come up with a mutter way to eat the vegetables and plow and continue to work the land, then they basically would have died. There's pikuach nefesh. Today, it means that all the people that are dependent upon the industry are in great risk. I estimate, I have no idea what the real statistic is, I personally estimate a minimum of an eighth of the country, or a tenth of the country, I think an eighth, that's dependent upon the food, the fruit and vegetable industry. Between the farmers, the workers, the people that make the seeds, the people that make the pesticides, the people that truck, the truckers, the packers, people that are in the stores, in the supermarkets selling it, in the fruit and vegetable stores that are only fruit and vegetables, that can't sell other things, the restaurants, caterers, there are a lot of people that are affected by the fruit and vegetable industry, and it's not so easy to say, well, forget about a million people or half a million Jews, so they won't have what to eat. Like Shalom Yefrach, he's a tzaddik, you know, what's with all the other people from his farm that were dependent upon the parnasa? Not such a simple thing. But Heter Mechira, just listen to the concept. Whether it's good, not good, you do it because you don't have a choice. But listen to the concept. It's a terrible concept. If you have to do it, okay, you have to do it. The concept is, sell the land to a non-Jew. The non-Jews are not commanded, amongst the seven mitzvahs that they're commanded, they're not commanded to leave the land fallow. The land has to get its rest. So what do? We sell it to a non-Jew. What are we gonna? What do you want from me? The non-Jew's not commanded. And it's a year sale, just for the year. So that way you could continue working it, and you rent the land back to use the land. And you get the vegetables, the produce back from him, and you continue. You don't make as much, or you pay him off a little bit. It's a fictitious sale, a real sale, however you understand it. It's all in order to work the land anyway. They're selling it to a non-Jew in order to work the land. You know what we're supposed to be doing? If the land needs its rest, you're supposed to be running around the country buying lands off of Arabs and off of non-religious Jews to make sure the land does get its rest. What are we doing? Well, what are we going to do? We can't let it rest. So we're going to sell it to the non-Jews in order to make sure that it doesn't rest. The exact opposite. And then we have problems with the Arabs, with the enemies, with this nation, that nation. Of course you do. You don't love the land, you're not letting the land. You don't. It's not your land. It's not your slave. You have to appreciate it. And then it will make sure to provide for you. Be tough. That's an idea. That's